Yeah. Okay, good morning and welcome to the results meeting of Royal BAM Group for the full year 2017. My name is Rob van Wingerden, CEO, and with me are our CFO Tessa Mensa and our COO Erik Baks. You know that Tessa is moving on, and today we announce that Erik will be proposed for reappointment for 1 year until April 2019. But for now, it's business as usual for the three of us, as the executive board. On this front slide, you see the Futurium in Berlin, which was successfully delivered by BAM Deutschland. This building offers visitors the opportunity to experience the future in laboratories, workshops, and exhibitions. Let's now go to the highlights for the year. We report an adjusted result before tax of 63.3 million. And the Sea-Lock IJmuiden had a large impact on our results for 2017. And I explained in December how this related to an unforeseen consequence of the caisson redesign, which was not anticipated by our joint venture partner, the client, or even independent experts. Our share of the loss at IJmuiden was 68 million, with 54 million of that in the fourth quarter. And in round terms, it cost us 1% point of our adjusted pre-tax margin for the year. And of course, we're very disappointed about IJmuiden. And also, we have to acknowledge the parking garage, Eindhoven incident, which also had a negative impact. That was, by the way, split over the sectors construction and property and civil engineering. However, these events motivate us even more to improve our business. Unfortunately, reviewing 2017, we also have good news to report as we go through the sectors. I'd like to highlight our solid financial position, our trade working capital efficiency, and our capital ratio both increased, and we continue to reduce our legacy property portfolio of completed developments and land bank. Let's look at the sectors, starting with construction and property. Here is a picture of V&A Museum of Design in Dundee, which will be opened in September. The building, designed by the Japanese architect Kengo Kuma, is absolutely a new landmark for the city. An impressive performance of BAM Construct in the UK, and only possible with the use of digital construction and BIM. This project is one of the many examples of integration of property development and construction activities at BAM. It's the residential tower at B-Mine at Overhoeks, Amsterdam. The overall performance improved with a margin of 2%. Construction in Germany improved to just break even as planned. And the projects acquired after refocusing the business are starting to deliver, which gradually improve our margins in that part of the business. Construction, Dutch construction and property continue to improve overall, and residential strengthened and non-residential continued its recovery. The contribution from property development was 26.7 million euro and came mainly from the residential in the Netherlands. The Dutch housing market continues to heat up as it suffers from a persistent shortage of new homes because of delays in permitting. In 2017, our house sales were 2,360, up only 7% because of this. And in the meantime, we are investing in equity-light opportunities, such as the large-scale city project in Amsterdam, the former Bijlmer Bias, the Bijlmer Prison. This redevelopment project includes 1,350 homes, which enable us to benefit from this good market. We welcome the ambition of the government to encourage energy-efficient housing and increase supply of new homes, for which we are very well equipped and positioned. The result in the UK was slightly above last year, but this year almost all coming from construction, whereas in 2016 there was a large contribution from property development. There is some weakening sentiment in the construction segment, as we had expected, and mainly in the London area. Our UK order book was flat at constant currency, and we continue to monitor conditions closely. The sector order book as a whole rose by 10%, which came mainly from Netherlands, residential and Ireland. Year-end trade working capital was minus 12.3%. Now let's look at the civil engineering. From 2020 on, the Victory Boogie Woogie Tunnel will give access to The Hague City Centre coming from Rotterdam. Sustainability is a key word in the design and construction for the joint venture. This includes reusing the tunnel machine of the successful design and construct tunnel project in Sluiskil. It was also completely refurbished with a new cutting shield. And this is a fine example of innovation. The world's first fully 3D printed, structurally pre-stressed concrete cycle bridge, which was developed by BAM Infra in collaboration with the Technical University in Eindhoven. It was opened in October. The loss at civil engineering was driven mainly by the sea lock IJmuiden. Margins for the UK, Ireland and Germany were at or above 2%. And remember, in 2016, result in Germany included a strong contribution from a settlement. Apart from that, there were challenging markets in the Dutch regional business, in French-speaking Belgium, and in the offshore international activities. But in all markets, we see careful signs of recovery. And BAM International is getting better, a better balance between nearshore and onshore activities. The rise in the order book in the UK and Germany was mainly driven by the intake of multi-year projects, and the working capital efficiency improved too, compared to a year ago. This is a picture of the courthouse in Drogheda, one of seven courthouses under the courts bundle of the Irish Public-Private Partnership Programme, where BAM PPP and BAM Ireland are responsible for design, construction, finance, and a 25-year maintenance period. The PPP sector had again a steady year, and the result was up to €90 million and came largely from the existing portfolio. There was one project transfer to the joint venture with PGGM. And we added one project to our portfolio, the A10, A24 road project in Germany, where we reached financial close on this project last week. And now Tessa will go through the rest of the numbers.
Okay, thank you, Rob. As you can see on the slide, we had hardly any adjustment items in 2017. And that's a major difference against last year. The small impairments in 2017 related to property and some other assets. This means the result before tax was comparable to 2016. The income tax line in 2017 includes a €40 million one-off, non-operational, non-cash impairment on the balance sheet deferred tax asset related to the Dutch fiscal entity. We have built up over the last years a huge amount of tax losses carried forward, coming from past land bank impairments, former German property activities and restructuring costs. In the Netherlands, tax losses can be carried forward for 9 years. Impairment was triggered by the loss on Sea Lock IJmuiden, as well as past underperformance of the Dutch fiscal entity. All in all, the net result for 2017 was 12.5 million. Now, let's have a look at the cash flow. We had another year of a positive business cash flow. In 2016, there was a strong inflow on trade working capital, whereas in 2017 there was a net outflow. Nevertheless, the trade working capital efficiency rose to 10.4% compared to 10% at year-end 2016. There was a cash inflow from property related to the sale of Stadium Zolle and the transfer of property positions in the north and east of the Netherlands, which we announced in November 16. There was a cash outflow for the year of 43 million, and that included a cash out of 25 million for prior year restructuring. Let's look at the key numbers of the financial position. In 2017, our net cash position improved mainly due to the reduction of the interest-bearing debt following the property divestments and the project transfer to the PGGM joint venture. The capital ratio was at 21.2%, and we are comfortably within the limits of all our banking covenants. The return on capital employed stayed flat despite the low result because of the good progress reducing the average capital employed. Now back to you, Rob.
Thank you. And on this slide, you see the Museum of the Future in Dubai, which we told you about at the Capital Markets event last April. This is another fine example of an onshore project and best practice with regard to digital construction and BIM. That brings us to the market conditions. The conditions in most of our markets are showing positive trends. In the Netherlands, the demand for new homes and renovations continue to grow, but housing supply is still constrained by the availability of permitted locations. Non-residential construction and the property are improving, including the transition to more energy-efficient buildings. Both businesses experience increased supply chain pressure, and civil engineering remains competitive for regional and larger multidisciplinary projects. The UK non-residential construction market is slowing down, particularly in the London area, and civil engineering is relatively stable. Brexit is starting to affect labour supply at subcontractors. In Germany, construction and civil engineering markets are stable and competitive, and there's a promising outlook for public infrastructure, including PPP. The market in Belgium for civil engineering shows signs of recovery. Construction and property markets are stable. In Ireland, there's a continued positive momentum, especially in construction. And the international oil and gas market is stable at low level and showing signs of new investment decisions. BAM is gaining traction in selected onshore markets. And for BAM PPP, there are promising opportunities in most of our home markets. The order book showed growth across most of the business in line with market conditions. This was mainly driven by large projects in the UK, Ireland and Germany with multi-year construction timetables. We expect a small revenue increase next year. And at year end 2017, we had 84% of 2018 revenue in hand, slightly better than last year. We have now reached the end of the second year of our five-year strategic period. Reviewing 2017, it is clear for us that we have the right strategy. And the problems at IJmuiden in 2017 might have damaged our result, but certainly do not stop our momentum delivering our strategy. Looking ahead, we will accelerate execution to capitalize on our potential, and key priorities remain improving our pre-construction management procedures, which also is a lesson from IJmuiden. This means enhancing the interaction between designers, clients, procurement, planning and production during tendering and before starting construction. In the meantime, we will continue discussions with our public client sector clients to rebalance risk and rewards of new projects. We will also enhance business controls, which means uniform operational information and being closer to the business. And on top of that, it is our priority to broaden the use of digital construction and BIM and to grow the degree of IT integration in the digital building process to increase reliability and efficiency. And finally, we will increase IT standardization since this is an enabler for group-wide collaboration and sharing knowledge and will further improve efficiency. And now I will conclude with the outlook and the proposed dividend. Most of our markets are developing in a positive direction, which is reflected in our order book. At the same time, we are feeling rising pressure on costs and availability in some parts of our supply chain. For the full year 2018, we expect an adjusted result before tax margin of around 2%. And regarding dividend, we feel confident about what we're doing. Taking into account our solid financial position, we are proposing to pay a 50% payout of the net result for 2017, adding back the impairment of the deferred tax asset, and this equals 10 cents per share. And we still offer a scrip alternative, which is fiscally attractive for some of our shareholders, but this year we will buy back an equal amount of these shares in the open market to offset the dilution from this. And now we will take your questions. Thank you.
Luc van Beek, Degroof Petercam. First of all, I have a question about the stress in the supply chain that you mentioned at several points in the press release. It's something that you've been aware of, I think, for the last year and have taken measures with escalation clauses. But can you give a bit more background to what extent you think that the measures you've taken are sufficient to withstand that pressure, or is there anything new in that regard?
You want to say something about
it? It's continuous attention at this moment, in this stage of the cycle. So if I look to what we do in our tenders, we give attention to that, looking to contract conditions, like clauses for indexation. But if you look to how it evolves now, it seems that we are in control there. So there's no changes. But you need to have continuous attention to it. Very important.
It's not a sort of warning.
No, it's no warning.
It's
no,
just
no.
Make sure that you understand that we are aware of that.
And it happens. It starts in the tender phase, and of course, then we have to talk to our supply chain, to our partners, to agree in early stage on pricing and things like that.
Okay. And the second question is about the contribution from property development. It was relatively high this year, mainly coming from residential, which is still a strong market, I think, in 2018. Can we expect a similar level this year, or are, for example, the own land positions no longer available, so that it will be more challenging to reach a similar level? Can you give a bit more background on that?
Well, the residential property market in the Netherlands is certainly favorable. And as I showed you, we have good success with, for instance, the Bijlmer Bias, the prison project, right in the middle where the market is. So I expect, again, good results this year.
Okay, and finally on the UK, you know, specifically mentioned the pressure around London in the non-residential market. So far, you've always stressed that you're mainly active in government-related activities and infrastructure. Do you stress this now because you expect an impact on your business, or has that view not changed?
It's basically a confirmation of what we've said before.
Okay, thank you.
Philip Ngoto, ABN AMRO. My first question is on the guidance. So the 2% PBT margin guidance for 2018. I was wondering if you mentioned it yourself, if you strip out the Amida losses, you would have already reached 2% this year. And if you would include also the losses from Eindhoven project, it might even be a bit higher. And then if you look at the results that you present in the presentation also, Germany was at a significant loss this year. Q4 was break even, so maybe it's fair to assume that 2018 we should also be at break even at least. There should be a significant positive delta actually coming from those areas. So I'm wondering, the fact that you actually guide for an underlying underlying basis, there's no improvement if I strip out those two projects. Could you indicate where exactly you're seeing then the pressure coming from which areas or markets where you're actually incorporating a negative delta year on year?
It's true that we say that if we wouldn't have had IJmuiden, it would be 2%, but we have IJmuiden. So we are very, very disappointed on that. So we thought it would be good to be a bit modest on the outlook. But I also like to point out that there are enough facts that underpin our confidence. For instance, our cash position, our solid financial position in terms of working capital, our order book. So there are other things that are more factual that underline, we think, our position going forward more than a promise in an outlook. So we're a bit careful on the on the outlook, and hopefully also take note of the other good things we are mentioning and showing in the numbers.
Okay, but there isn't any. Well, like last year, the IJmuiden project was already in Q1 that you actually saw that. You needed additional work. It was probably a bit higher on the radar. It isn't that at this stage there are similar projects or anything
nope.
like that where there. That needs more attention?
No.
Okay, and you haven't incorporated anything, or is that the caution also maybe still driven then indeed by the question on the subcontractors, the pressure on the supply chain? Is there anything that you have?
It's early in the year. Like I said, we thought it would fit, it would suit, not to be to be careful with the outlook, and we like to point out that also look at the other things in the what we show in the results.
Okay, clear. What is the question on CLOC IJmuiden? Can you just remind us what is the cash outflow for 2018? I mean, you have taken the loss now, so what is in 2018 still on in terms of cash out?
2018 cash outflow on CLOC IJmuiden will be relatively limited because the loss is the expected loss to end of project.
Okay, so it should be at 0%. Maybe the margin and
exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Bart Kuipers, KBC Securities. I had a question regarding the Eindhoven parking. So it contributed to the result now in 4Q17. Is that the final impact, or will this continue going forwards? Is the first question.
Yeah, the, our assessment per today is now in the numbers. Of course, some things need to be sorted out, but we're comfortable that we have the right numbers now in the books.
Okay, thank you. Then a second question regarding the 40 million impairment of the deferred tax assets. Could you give me maybe some more color on the underperformance of the Dutch fiscal entity and how exactly is it calculated?
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at the write down or the impairment on the Dutch fiscal entity, then that's triggered by IJmuiden, which was a top off on the earlier past underperformance of the fiscal entity with reasons of earlier land impairments and restructurings in past years. If you look at the numbers now, of course, we did make a review. Then, based on the review, we took the 40 million impairment for this year. And in itself, if you look at the profitability of the Dutch fiscal entity, is part of the total group, of course. And to the profitability of the total group, then I refer to the outlook statement we have just given and done. And by the way, the strategic agenda ambitions, which still stand. So it's separate from the expectation that that we would not be profitable. Not the case.
Okay, thank you.
Edwin de Jong, NIBC. Also some questions on the Eindhoven project. Can you say something about the amount of the loss that you have incurred? Was it related, wasn't it covered by insurance? Are they going to be provisions? Could you give some more color on that?
We guide you already in the last quarter that we have a high single-digit provision, which we regard as sufficient. And in the meantime, an insurance is also still in an investigation and ongoing, as are the talks with the client, etc.
Okay, so basically there was not really something new in the last quarter?
Nope.
Okay. Then on land, we continue to see some impairments on land. I think this year it was quite limited. With the current market environment, isn't it fair to assume that there will be no impairments anymore this year?
It's like you said, it's already limited, and going forward we do not expect impairments. But you can also always have. We have still positions here and there. That there is a decision by a municipality to change order, and then you have a sort of on the project basis something. But it's incomparable, a completely different place than years ago.
Okay. And could you say something about the margins in property development? We know something about the results, of course, that you disclosed.
Healthy.
And increasing also compared to 17?
I think it's a good market.
So, yes.
It's healthy margins in a good market.
Okay.
Not getting more.
And finally, on infra, to me the result was quite disappointing. And now we see in the results that you give an explanation per country as well, and you see lower results in every country. Could you maybe give a little bit of color on with the also in terms of the strategy for what we should see there in 2018?
Well, it's not in all countries, but maybe Erik, you want to say something about it?
I just missed the start of it. Sorry, because I was
the margins in civil engineering and
margins in civil.
Yeah,
per country or
yeah.
Well, if you look to Belgium. I would say it's still competitive market. Also, Ireland is on civil side is competitive. Netherlands is still competitive. If you look to Germany and UK, I think it's more stable market. So we don't expect very different margins, except, of course, the exception in the Netherlands we had with the lock.
Yeah, of course. But then mostly compared to 2016, which was actually quite a good year.
Yeah.
And so we saw a big decrease.
So the market in Belgium went down after 16, and we see now early signs of recovery. But civil projects are big projects, so if we win tenders this year, probably it won't really affect this year, but probably the future.
But mind you, that still in UK, Ireland and Germany, we were at or above 2%, so it's not all bad. The lock is the item, and of course Belgium is a bit weak. But we see signs, even in the French-speaking part, that there are signs of recovery. Remember, I mentioned many times the French-speaking part of Belgium as a weak spot in our portfolio, but even there we see signs of investments.
It's more that in 2016 the margin was 2.9% on top of my head.
Yeah, and there was this nice settlement in Germany, remember?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Albert Pranger, Kempe. First of all, you mentioned that there's still a limited number of permitted land plots for construction in the Netherlands. Do you see that local governments are easing their stance on building and on the permitting process as such?
Yeah, I think there is definitely eagerness also in government to make areas and locations available, make it easier to get permits. But things need time. They take time in government. I'm also a member of the task force with Bernard Wintjes to improve all this. There's this bouwagenda, the building agenda, and that is also a big part of that. So we are trying to find ways to get more locations available, but also build in scale, because when there are nice scalable projects on the market, then it also encourages companies like us to invest in good solutions, especially in energy neutral. So I think there is definitely a positive push, but it will take some time to really see the impact of that. But we are there on top of that.
Okay, great. Then on the guidance, all the statements you just made sound relatively positive. The read-through of the year-on-year delta is also positive. So my question is let's say you would have another issue like the parking garage in Eindhoven. Would you then be forced to make a profit warning? And would you then endanger your 2% margin?
Say again, if I would have... I'm not looking for another Eindhoven, by the way.
No. Me neither. But let's say you would have a setback in the size of the
Eindhoven.
Setback you had at Eindhoven Airport.
Yeah.
Would you then endanger your margin?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Maarten Verbeek, DRD. Firstly, looking at the results from associates and joint ventures, last year you had a gain from Van Oort. Now the result is more or less stable. Could you give some clarification to that? Could you give some color on the outstanding receivables or big settlement cases? Then thirdly, on Eindhoven, you mentioned you had taken a high single-digit charge provision and also that you had added that to or allocated that to civil engineering and construction and property. Could you give more or less an indication if it would be 50-50 or whatever?
And then
50-50.
Okay, thanks. And then lastly, we discussed it previously before the meeting about new contracts. How do clients look at new contracts for these unique projects like IJmuiden? Because taking on a project like IJmuiden on a fixed cost basis, lump sum, that has appeared to be very risky. So how do you look at it and how do you clients look at that?
Maybe starting with the last question, we are, like I said in the speech, in a continuous discussion with clients, how do we get the right balance between risk and reward? The thing is, if you look at IJmuiden, we were very careful at that moment. We had a good joint venture partner, and there were two big innovations which were carefully looked at, but the thing we all overlooked was not the innovation. So that is the, I would even say frustrating part. So the thing that should be not, the thing that should not be a problem appeared to be the problem. So it's not really the size, it's not the partners, it's not the knowledge, and still it happens. And that is a frustrating. So we need to take lessons of that, and I think you're pointing in the right direction. How should we deal with those projects? And that is a continuous discussion with also our public client. How to deal with that. And these discussions are ongoing. I think if you look also at the market vision we developed together with our public client, I think there is a better understanding how we should deal with these things. But we aren't there yet.
Maybe...
But if I just may, if you now look at... If you would be tendering for such a unique object once more, would you either say, I want to have a much higher margin, or will you go back to your clients and say, I want to have an open book calculation or whatever?
More maybe in that direction. Have a sort of shared risk provision, those kind of things. And these discussions are on the table.
Maybe adding something to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are talking now about more or less about the situation in the Dutch market. If you, for instance, look to the market in the UK, there already is much more collaboration between clients and contractors, and they select their partners in a much more earlier stage to reduce the risk and have more collaboration. So we are in different markets with different approaches as well.
Yep. One thing, these tenders are very expensive. Like Eric's saying, we have good examples that there is a selection procedure for the final, a market party to develop the project further. On a different basis, and that's why we basically have to end up. Because I think it's not good that we spend so much money on a tender, and then do not get the job. Even apart from IJmuiden, that's all on these PPPs. So, anyway, we are in discussion to make the tenders more less expensive, get to a final selection earlier, and do more together, including risk, shared risk provisions, etc. That's where you want to end up. Sorry, Tessa?
Answering your question on the associates, those results are property JVs. A property JV, and if you look at Van Oort was the finalization of the dividend last year, and that was in the group cost, and therefore the comparison against last year, this year, group cost is a normal level, and last year was positively influenced by the release of the dividend provision from the sale of Van Oort.
And this result from its property JVs is more or less in line with the Van Oort result?
That's a different number on different things. So if you look at, again, the group results, then the difference is the Van Oort. And the associates is property joint venture. And they do not relate in any form.
And then still outstanding, the outstanding receivables and settlement cases?
Coming down. If you look at the very old ones, they have come down considerably. And yes, relevant part of that was resolution of older issues. By the way, these are issues mainly outside the Netherlands. And that has to do sometimes with the type of resolutions, which we commented on every year also in the AGM. We're following all of the details and the position in those contracts and projects. And when we can, we will try to finalize and negotiate, which we have done successfully.
André Mulder, Kepler, three questions. So first question on Ireland. We see a market that's exploding there. I think last year growth was around 15%. It's then surprising to see that your results in both construction and property and civil engineering are down. What's the reason for that?
Ireland, I think, is performing pretty well.
Yeah, we separate in Ireland between the civils market and the building and property market. So civils is not a very good market still in Ireland. On the property side, the building side is a good market, and I think we had a one-off in 16 in that number.
On the civil.
On the pensions.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So construction is definitely performing well in Ireland.
But pension is part of the adjustments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Percentage-wise, I think Ireland construction is doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Looking at the PFI side, you again disposed of a project. There's hardly any book profit on that. What's driving that disposal? Are you looking for money? Are you looking for book profits?
Always looking for money.
You already got a lot of money, so what's the reason for being satisfied with such a low book profit?
Well, it was a normal deal, an agreement. And by the way, if you look at PPP, it's not just the transfer. It's also the operation of all the PPPs which we're driving and bringing out the value of that. You see that we are pretty successful in managing our portfolio of PPPs. And we're also confident that will happen on this one as well. And by the way, it was only one.
Then again, the question on margins. If you're forecasting around 2% this year with some tailwind in markets, what makes you confident that you can reach the 3 or 4%? What's needed for that? Even more tailwind, or do you plan any extra measures to give the improvement a boost on that?
Yeah, right now we're focused on 18. We're just digesting IJmuiden, so like I said earlier, we're a bit modest on the outlook, and I think there's a reason to that. And I ask you also to look at the other parts of the company, the financial position, that hopefully show confident. The strategic agenda still stands, but we are not in an isolated world, so we have to look around what's happening.
There's Brexit, there's economic developments. So first thing is to get it within the range as soon as possible, and then we update you how we go from there. This is the third year in our strategic agenda. We have a good plan. We believe in it. And that's the way we follow. And we'll update you when every step we make.
Willem Goethe, ABN AMRO. Two follow-up questions. First of all, on the provisions side, I see on the balance sheet quite a reduction in the provisions, also in the cash flow statement, a number there. I was wondering what is what that related, what is it related to? That's my first question. And then my second question is still referring back to the subcontractor risk and the pressure on the supply chain. I remember we discussed it somewhere in the past as well during an analyst meeting, and you indicated that it was more in control. But it's actually the first time that I believe, if I look back at the Q2 statements and Q3, it's the first time that you explicitly mentioned it really in the press release. So I'm wondering, what is the reason behind that? I mean, I understand that you want to maybe just give an indication that this is something that's developing, but has that really increased? Has the pressure increased over the last months? Does that warrant a that you mentioned it in the press release? And the second thing on that, Eric, you mentioned that you say that it seems like we are in control. When you say it seems, yeah. It can be a little bit worrying. So, what have you done in the? I mean, have there been specific actions over the last months? Yeah. If you have seen increased pressure within the organization, that you have looked at the at the contracts and anything that you can say on that.
So there is, in a normal cycle, you always have that you get your back to price rises, and that's the situation we're in today. So that's just what we want to tell, and we are giving a lot of attention to that in the tender phase, but maybe also more important is to do it in the pre-construction phase. So if we start projects, we have a lot of cooperation with the supply chain in our designs to get out all the values of the supply chain, and we have very early cooperation with them. So it's important, and that's one of our priorities for this year as well. So the only thing we try to make clear is that we give extra attention to this because of the cycle we are in. We are managing it, but of course it is a situation you have to deal with. So prices go up in all industries, in all products in the world. We have to deal with that. So we have to be aware of it. We have to be conscious in the contracts we make with our clients, that we have good price indexation clauses in the contract, and that we deal in a very early stage with the subcontractors. And that's what we're doing in our pre-construction work.
I understand on the pre-construction work, but I mean, sometimes you win projects, of course, like a year ago, and they only come now in execution. And whatever you agreed then.
Well, we anticipated that already a year ago. So this is maybe we start talking about this since 6 months, but internally we talk about it since 2 years.
Okay, so the.
So we see this coming, and this is not a surprise to us.
So all the contracts that have been won, you feel that there's been sufficient price indexation included in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the provisions coming down, your question, that means in essence that, yes, of course, they're resolved. And an example of that is also the older receivables, where the provisions are used and it's resolved.
Thank you very much for being here, and we're looking forward for to continue our journey on the strategic agenda, and the first thing is 2018, so stay with us.